This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money Podcast, episode 106. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. How'd your Powerball Mega Millions go?
I haven't won a single, well, so I shouldn't say I haven't won a single dollar. I did win $2 earlier this month on one ticket, but other than that, No, I'm still here.
You know what concerns me is I saw somebody on another money group on Facebook said, hey, you only live once, and they bought $1,000 worth of tickets. And, well, I don't think they were in Michigan or Maryland, so... Yeah, it's supposed to be for entertainment and not for throwing your life savings
out. It's not really an investment.
No, but a lot of people do that. And don't be doing that, guys.
Yeah, I only buy one ticket each time because
there you go.
The odds are the same with one ticket or 1,000 tickets, I guess, really.
Yeah, the math, yeah. Kind of like all the other math we talked about. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are we doing this episode?
We have got three social media questions, and then we've got a savvy savings segment today, as promised, how to make your washer and dryer last longer.
Ooh, mine's not that old, so I need to know about this. Three questions, and one of them I'm going to throw at you first. I think You found this one. What do you think about having home warranty insurance? I've only used it once to pay for a service charge of $60 or something if they came out. Oh, if they come out. Oh, they
only have the service call.
Gotcha. They only have to pay $60 for the service call. For my washer, dryer, refrigerator, dishwasher, roof, central heating is all covered plus plumbing. If they can't fix it, they replace it. So is it a good investment to have a home warranty?
Okay. So I have purchased home warranty insurance before, but only for a new purchase of a property. I don't on a regular basis purchase home warranty insurance. And I only do it when I purchase a new place for rentals, because even if you get a home inspection, there's still going to be things that crop up that just, you know, if you aren't expecting them, they can be really, really annoying and expensive. But on a regular basis, I do not purchase home warranty insurance, and I don't go more than 1 year on any home purchase, because by that point, the things that were going to be broken immediately have broken. Other than that, I don't think it's a good investment. I don't think it's a good insurance coverage. One, the fees on an annual basis are relatively expensive. So I've seen between $500 to $1,000, depending on what type of plan you get. The carve-outs for coverage are actually pretty significant. So even though you think your washer, dryer, refrigerator, dishwasher, roof, central heating is quote unquote all covered plus plumbing, I would challenge that, because they probably list each of those items as having some type of coverage. But if you read the fine print, there are a ton of exclusions. So, for example, a common thing to be covered under home warranty insurance are garage doors. But if you look at it, they don't cover replacement. Generally, the plans don't cover replacement of garage door springs, which springs is the most common thing to break on garage doors.
Oh, my God. I replace that thing all the time.
Yes. Yeah, so that's usually what's going to be broken if your garage door breaks, and that's not covered under a home warranty, usually, unless you buy an upgraded plan. So that's just one example of like the most common thing to get to break is not going to be part of the coverage. So read the fine print very carefully. As you mentioned, you also have to pay the service fee anyway of $60. So, you know, if it's something that's going to be less than $60 to fix, or you're item that needs to be fixed is only worth. So the Consumer Reports rule of thumb is if the repair is going to cost you 50% or more of what the item is worth, then it's worth just getting a new item, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I know that those rules are a little bit weird right now when new appliances are actually kind of hard to come by during the pandemic. So more and more people are fixing things, even if they cost more to fix than what they're worth. But generally, that's the item there. So I would not waste, and I'm going to use that word as a strong word, I would not waste money on a warranty insurance premium, because you should be putting money in savings instead. The likelihood that you're actually going to get use out of this insurance plan is actually pretty low. Even on a new home, like I had a new property last year, bought the home warranty. It was like a $500 plan. I think it was used twice, once for a plumbing issue and once for a garage door repair. And it was a $100 service call, so I still paid an extra $200. So and it was like $700 in. The repairs that were done were not worth $700. So you're much better off just paying for things out of pocket as they come up.
There you go. And we only like to insure the very large items. And these aren't large items in what we're talking about. We're talking about cars, the house itself. Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing warranties. Yeah. Your life.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, most of the, if you get a new appliance, most of them come with an appliance warranty anyway. And even if you get a new roof, your roof has a warranty, and roof warranties are transferable. So that's something to ask about if you are purchasing a home and there's a claim that they put on a new roof in the last couple of years. You know, ask for that warranty to be transferred to you. But otherwise, no, it's, to me, it's a complete waste of money. Just like if you go to Best Buy and they ask you if you want the extended warranty on, you know, your new laptop. It's just not worth it.
They'll come up with a warranty for everything they sell, even if it's $20. It's crazy. It's funny. How about question two? You ready for this one?
Yes.
Is it better to make Roth IRA contributions annually, like a lump sum, or incrementally?
I don't know. What do you think, Craig?
I think that's overthinking it. I would just rather.
Yeah, I do too.
No, I think because here's my thing. And there's a lot of people with opinions on this. It's almost like you're timing the market. If you have the money, get it in there is the way I look at it. But otherwise, other people like, well, incrementally, then I'm getting like dollar cost averaging, all that. I think that's getting way in the weeds when you have a long-term mindset. I assume if you got the money, you have 6,000 right now, just put it in there. And get it working. So I don't like overthinking all this is my way.
I would do it as you can afford it. So that's basically what Craig's saying. So I put my $6,000 in January 1st this year.
There you go. Because
I had been saving it in a separate savings account for the last couple of months. And it was earmarked for that. So I like to put it in right away so I can get it starting to make money immediately. Other years when I didn't have it earmarked in a savings account separately ahead of time, then I was just able to make contributions as I had the money, then that works too. But there's also a difference between making the contributions to your Roth IRA account and then actually making the allocations within it. So you can still put $6,000 into the account and then decide that you'd rather do dollar cost averaging and only make purchases of your index fund incrementally. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I think it's a personal preference. And as Craig said, you know, we're not in it to time the market. You're in it for the long haul. So to me, it doesn't matter. Just the important thing is to make sure you get your Roth IRA contributions maxed out each year somehow, some way.
Here's what I've noticed in the last week. Now that the new president is in place, I'm not getting political. People are sitting here talking about some crash. And so they're worried about, they don't want to put their money in yet.
We've been hearing that for the past year.
but it's really, you're right. I've seen a lot in the money groups this week. And it's definitely politically biased comments based on which side you're on. I don't care about all that. I don't care about that because in the long term, Amanda, what do we know happens in reality?
The market goes up long term.
Right, over term. So the short term, you may have a dip here, there. But I don't know where these crystal balls come from. I think it's fun to talk and debate. But the reality and the data for a long period, I mean, decades and decades, is over long term, everything goes up. Just get your money in there and turn it off. Just ignore all that noise, really. That's my opinion. But the data does back that up. So,
question. So the other thing is, so I can share that since January 1st, my portfolio has had almost a 10% gain.
Wow.
So I've made 10, if you do the math, I've made 10% on that $6,000 already. Whereas if I'd only put $500 in, that's a much smaller 10% gain, right?
Right.
The other thing is the markets over time go up, but if you missed out on just a handful of the days in like the past 10 years, then your gain would have been significantly lower. So right. I'm in the camp of have your money in there for all the days you can, because trying to figure out which 2 days out of the year are going to be the most profitable, it's hit or miss, right?
And it is impossible to figure out when that will be. Nobody mm-hmm. knows. Nobody yeah. knows.
I don't have the exact numbers right here in front of me, but it is literally a handful of days that make people all of their or a significant amount of money.
In the day we're recording this, we just came off the all-time high, the S&P 500.
Yes.
It came off on Friday, yeah. last Friday, was yeah. the all-time high of the S&P 500, guys. Mm-hmm. After an inauguration, and everything, transfer power, everything. Everyone said, oh, it's going to crash, and we're at an all-time high. I'm not saying it's going to go down. I don't know. I'm just yeah. telling you the facts of what it says right now. None of that happened, and we're at an all-time high.
So. Right. There was a dip the day of the insurrection. That well, was yeah, definitely had an impact.
Yeah.
But since then, it's been on an upward trend.
Yeah. All right. Question number three. How many mutual funds do you recommend having in a Roth account?
So this is another one of those it depends questions.
Yes, it is.
It's a personal preference, right? So if you're new to the game, then we suggest that you stick with just the one S&P 500 index fund.
Yeah. And, yeah, the S&P 500
index. And if you want to get a little fancier, you can do a bunch of research and find out what funds have historically beat the S&P 500 index fund, and you can put your money there.
Just so you know, because you've asked me to do this, Amanda, is mm-hmm. a tutorial, quick video tutorial on how to do that.
Yes.
Take the symbol. We have to know the symbol, number one, of your fund. Mm-hmm. It has to have a symbol or this doesn't work. And that's a very basic skill that everybody should need to know, to check yeah. on your advisor if you have one, check on your friend or your uncle who's telling you to do this. You can at least go double check and see if it works.
So that's the easy way of doing it if you're talking about a 401k account where right. you're in a finite universe of symbols and you can look at the list that's in front of you. Now, if you're on your own with an individual retirement account, an IRA, then it feels a little bit more overwhelming because the full universe of options is in front of you. So yeah. You can Google the S&P 500 index funds with Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard, the three that we recommend.
Right.
Or you can take a look at what we've recommended in the past for those index funds there. And every single one of them has a simple S&P 500 index fund at a low cost or no cost.
Yep. There you go. All right, cool. But I promise I will be getting that very shortly. I'm within days of getting that ready to do that.
All right. We're going to hold you to it.
You're going to hold me to it. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Savvy Savings with Amanda. Come back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. help. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
To Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Don't forget to check us our website at rockonthemoney.com. And the website and the Facebook page is /rockonthemoney. Facebook.com/rockonthemoney. What we got for Savvy Savings today?
Well, as we previewed in one of the last episodes, I promised that I would do a segment on how to make your washer and dryer last longer. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Nice.
So we'll start with your washing machines. The first tip here is to keep it level. So the drums on modern washing machines can spin very quickly, like up to 1600 RPMs. Mm-hmm. To keep the machine from vibrating excessively and damaging itself, then you need to keep it sitting dead level with its feet firmly on the floor. If it's unsteady, then you just need to extend 1 foot at a time. They have these little spinner feet on the bottom and every time, so we move quite a bit, and sometimes I move my washer and dryer, sometimes I don't. But if you move your washer and dryer, I always take one of those levels, a longer one, and you put it on the top of the washing machine, and you try it multiple different directions to make sure that it's all nice and level. Mm-hmm. And so check it front to back and side to side using that level and adjust as necessary. And then once it's adjusted, tighten the lock nuts on the feet so that they don't move during a cycle. And you can kind of tell, like, if you're hearing the noise of the washing machine jumping up and down when it's on spin cycle, that's a big clue. Go fix those feet.
You're like Harriet homeowner.
I don't know what that means. Who's Harriet?
No, Home Depot used to have Harry and Harriet, the little cartoon characters. And they were like, they go to Home Depot, they get stuff, and they do everything around their house. So you're like Harriet homeowner.
Right.
That's dating myself. Sorry, go ahead.
Number two. So this is an easy one. Everyone can do this without much effort at all. Don't overdo it on detergent. So think about this. You're going to save money on your detergent purchases and also save money on having to replace your washing machine. So a surplus of suds makes the washing machine work harder and can also trigger extra rinse cycles if you have one of those smart machines that tries to figure out how much it has to rinse. So that would also extend the washing time and waste energy and the lifespan of your machine. Make sure you're using the right type of detergent and the amount that's recommended by your washing machine manual. Newer washers use a lot less water than those that were made 15 years ago. And all these detergents now have this little symbol on them that says HE. That's means high efficiency, and it produces less suds, and they're formulated to work with water-saving front loaders, the HE top loaders, and even some of the agitator top loaders. And for those who don't know, agitator means that arm that comes up in the middle of the machine, which every washing machine back when we were younger had an agitator, but now the newer, fancier ones don't have those, nice because it's easier to put a load of laundry in. But
oh, heck yeah. I don't have one. I have a top loader. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, top loader with no agitator.
With no agitator.
Yeah, it's an HE top loader.
Right. Yep. But again, make sure you're not overdoing it with detergent. This is a case where less is sometimes more.
Yeah.
I know people are like, oh, but my stuff's super dirty. I need to add extra detergent.
No, you don't.
With these new efficient machines, that's not the case. The detergent level is the detergent level, and you just change the setting to maybe heavy duty.
Right.
All right. So the third tip here is to clean the dispenser drawer. So I did not know this, and I've never done it myself, so I need to put this on my to-do list for the weekend. Remove that dispenser drawer and clean it on a routine basis. When detergent builds up in the dispenser, it can cause suds, extra suds, and make the washer work harder, just like we talked about with the extra detergent.
Great. Now I got something else to do today. Thanks.
Yep. Put it on your to-do list. Number four, try to prevent mold. So this is a big one. And this one I did know, and I do this. So mold thrives when it has food and water, and washing machines provide plenty of both, with, you know, the detergent and fabric softener residue serving as the food sources. So to minimize the mold, run the tub clean feature regularly. So these newer machines usually have a cycle called like clean with a fresh. That's the brand name of the cleaner. It doesn't have to be that brand, but so they all have nowadays a cleaning setting, and you want to run that once a month or every 50 cycles. If your washer doesn't have it, then you can run an empty load on the hottest setting with a cup of bleach instead. Yeah. And then when the front loader has done its job, you want to make sure you wipe away moisture inside the door and the rubber gasket, and gently pull back that gasket to clean away any residue and dry the surface. So I'm starting to laugh here, because last time I ran it, it resulted in like a giant boulder of like dog hair and hair.
Oh my God.
And I run it every month. So it's amazing how much cleaning happens and what comes out of that rubber gasket when you do that cleaning.
You have a front loader then, right?
I do have a front loader, yeah.
Gotcha.
And I, and then the other thing I do is between loads, keep the front loader door ajar.
Yes.
I mean, as long as you don't have children around that are running afoot and can get themselves in there. Or if you have a top loader, keep that lid open. It helps air it out and gives it an opportunity to dry. And what I hadn't thought about is also to keep the dispenser open to give it an opportunity to dry.
I read this article in Consumer Reports regarding mold and front loader washers, which is why I opted for the top. So
yeah. So, and the other thing with top loaders is most people who have top loaders tend to leave that lid open when they're done, right?
That's true. I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, most
that
people
makes sense.
Do. Yeah, most people do. So those naturally are left open and have an opportunity to dry. Now, obviously, I live in Florida where it's a very humid climate.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I do take the extra precaution. I always leave the door open, at least until the dryer's done running, you know?
No, that makes sense. I do leave it open. Yeah.
And then I can come by and close it later on when I'm done folding clothes, but that gives it a good hour or two to dry out. And because I had read before about the mold issues, and that just happens to be the type of washer I have at this point.
Gotcha. You know,
we change houses every few years.
And yeah.
So that's super important. Make sure you're cleaning it out on a routine basis. Remember, there is gravity. So those gaskets that are at the door, they tend to collect all of the debris from your washing
and
cycle.
Dog hair.
Yeah. So after you run that cleaning cycle, take some paper toweling, go in and wipe down the entire drum, and you'll be surprised how much residue you wipe out. So then the last tip here on washing machines is to inspect the water fill hoses. Have you ever done this, Craig?
Okay. So because I came from the fire department,
yes,
I can't tell you how many calls we ran where these hoses break.
Really?
Whenever I put in a new washer machine, I make sure I put in the steel cables. Because if you just have regular rubber ones, they crack, they get brittle, and they burst. Most people have no idea how to shut the water off in their house.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
that's
a
good tip. Make sure you know where the water valve is to turn
off. And teach your kids where it's at, because if they're home by themselves and it happens, they know where to go shut off the water. Most people, whole families, have no idea how to shut off the water in their house. And fire department comes out, the first thing we do is we go find the water shut off, but the damage is already done.
Good tip. Get the steel. So even if you have hoses already provided, you can make a quick trip to the local hardware store and pick up some steel hoses instead and replace them. It's not an expensive swap.
Yeah.
So definitely, if your hoses, when you inspect them, are cracked or brittle at all, make sure you're replacing them. Because as Craig mentioned, if a hose bursts, the flood can damage your appliances and your floor and everything around it.
And remember, the faucet is turned on all the time, so that constant pressure is always there. And all it takes is that crack to get a little bit bigger, and boom, you're done.
That's like... I used to have this bad habit with our hoses and sprinklers that you know, you just kind of leave a part of the hose on.
Right.
Like if you have that squeeze handle on it, right. You know, to just spray the spray handle. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of people leave their hose on and then just rely on the squeeze handle to turn on and off the water. I can't tell you how many times I've had to replace hoses because they've burst. And it's because of that built up pressure over time.
Yep.
So, yeah. Steel is the way to go. All right, so those are your tips for the washing machine. Now, moving on to dryers, to help extend the life of your dryer, number one, clean the lint trap. Super easy. Anyone can handle this, right? So it may seem obvious, but it's something that you need to do before every load to ensure the air flows freely. A blocked lint trap requires the dryer to run longer, and it adds to the wear and tear on the machine. When I was renting out our house Airbnb style, I had a handyman come by one day, and because someone had complained that the dryer was taking too long, he came by and he's like, "Oh my goodness, I could hardly get the lint trap out. It was so full." And it just boggles my mind that people just don't empty the lint trap.
And it actually can cause a fire as well. Dryer fires are another common stove fires, dryer fires. If people would just maintain these two appliances, most of the risk is eliminated.
That's right. They last a lot longer. So the second tip is kind of along the same line here, is number two, replace an accordion style duct. So just like you're going to replace the water hoses on your washing machine, you should replace the accordion style duct that comes out of the back of your dryer. The plastic or foil accordion style ducts can sag, and then it enables lint to accumulate in low points and in the ridges. And if the lint builds up where it restricts airflow, your clothes won't dry, just like if your lint trap is full. And as Craig mentioned, the conditions are ripe for a dryer fire. So you do want to replace the duct with one that's a rigid metal that has the smooth walls to allow airflow and reduce the buildup of lint. A flexible metal duct could be your second choice if you don't have the ability to use something straight because of how your vents line up with your outdoor. Right. Yeah. Use the duct connectors and metal clamps or foil tape to join sections of the duct and pass... avoid the sheet metal screws because, again, lint can cause buildup inside the duct if it gets caught on the screws. So that's the second tip. The third tip and last tip that I have for you is also related to the duct, which I think it's hilarious because, as you can tell, I'm struggling to say the word duct on a regular basis.
Duct.
Oh, it's a tough word.
Yes.
So once you have the right type of duct in place, be sure to clean it at least once a year. And this one's also hard to remember. There's so many things you have to maintain when you're a homeowner.
There is.
So disconnect the duct from the dryer, then vacuum the dryer vent with a long handle attachment. I actually bought one of the, what is it called? Some kind of like fancy thing that you do on the as seen on TV section of the store.
Really?
It's kind of like a dryer snake or something. I don't know, but it just attaches to your vacuum. And then it has like this longer hose and handle that is designed to go into the lint trap and the duct.
Maybe I should.
So you want to, if you don't have that special one, then you just use a brush made for cleaning, like the dryer ducts, and something that'll feed into the duct and vacuum up chunks of lint as you move it back and forth.
Chunks.
Yeah. It's going to look like little small animals coming out. Yeah. Where possible, separate the duct into shorter sections for better access. So, you know, if you're able to disassemble it, then it's easier to clean. And then reassemble and attach it to the dryer, ensuring that all the joints in the duct are properly connected and held with the clamps or foil tape again.
Gotcha. Nice.
So I do have an article, the article where I pulled this information from. It's from Consumer Reports. I did put the link to the actual article in our show notes if you want to come back and just read through it.
Perfect. Sounds awesome. Well, that's all. Now I have. How does one remember all these things to do in their house?
I don't know. I mean, make a checklist.
You just brought up a great point. It's like, how would I know everything I'm supposed to do in my house? I got to clean this. I got to do that. I got to caulk this. I got to do that. It's like, what are the timelines for everything?
Like if like if you're a young new homeowner, you kind of just run into these things by accident. When something goes wrong, then you learn the hard lesson of how to prevent it from happening again, usually, unless you're listening to our a podcast and are getting these great tips that I...
Tips. In the first half of this podcast, you talked about garage springs. Well, I had one break again. It's like every 3 or 5 years. And so now I bought enough to do all the springs at once. So I have two doors. I'm doing all at the same time.
Yeah. But, they're not cheap either.
No, I think for all four, I get them on Amazon. They're a lot less expensive on there.
Oh,
and you gotta get the right color code for the strength of the spring based on the door you have. So it's not difficult. You're gonna get a little greasy doing a changeover, but
I would leave it to the professionals, just because, you know, if you get it wrong, a spring snapping could kill someone. So
All right, well, thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda, and you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.